WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Hundreds of protesters march peacefully in Harrisonburg an evening after the arrest of hundreds of demonstrators in Richmond. The death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and unrest across the country has lawmakers in Virginia considering criminal justice reform. And dozens of black alumni of Liberty University suggest President Jerry Falwell Jr. stepped down after mocking Virginia's mask-wearing requirement. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, June 2nd. Harrisonburg protesters joined global protests over racial injustice in America with a silent march Monday night, WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
As protesters began to show up in downtown Harrisonburg for Monday night's silent march, around 300 gathered in front of the city's public safety building for a prayer vigil led by Harrisonburg City Councilman Chris Jones.
It's been a long, hard 400 years, and our time has been filled with slavery of the worst kind known to man. The raping of women and children, the burning and lynching in public places, which has made it so much easier for that officer to do that to Brother Floyd.
This was one of many ongoing protests after George Floyd's death at the hands of a white police officer in Minneapolis sparked national outrage at police brutality and racism in America. More than 1,000 people gathered downtown, marching with fists and signs raised in the air. The first half of the silent march stayed true to its name, but chanting erupted and echoed downtown as the crowd moved past City Hall.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Say his name!
George Floyd!
As they circled back around to the public safety building, their chants commemorated Floyd, as well as Breonna Taylor, who was killed in March by police in Louisville, Kentucky.
Breonna Taylor! Breonna Taylor!
As the crowd returned to Liberty Park, speakers such as activist Johanna Turner concluded their demonstration.
I just want to remind us that our movement has to be global, it is intersectional, and it is visionary. And I want to say that this movement in defense of black lives, we don't just bring our marching bodies, we bring our grieving hearts, we bring our resilient spirits.
The march was relatively peaceful, with minimal police involvement, and did not escalate into violence as other demonstrations have over the past few days. Local activist Malik Jones organized the protest and said to expect more like it in the future.
We can't just do this one time and expect things to change. In order to get real change, we're going to have to keep on pushing, keep on demanding, just keep on going. And so that's our plan for the future. I can't get into specifics right now, but that's our plan.
For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
In Richmond, Police Chief William Smith said police arrested about 230 people during a third night of protests. At least one of those detained said she was following an officer's orders. From partner station VPM, Yasmin Juma reports.
Kat McNeil says she was with a group who continued to march after the 8 p.m. curfew went into effect. She says she didn't see anyone destroying property and was later told by an officer to take Lee Street to leave the area. Other officers arrested her on her way home.
We got on the ground, face down. They zip-tied our hands behind our backs, searched us, and then loaded us into a transport van.
McNeil says they were transferred to a police bus and later the city jail. While detained, officers took little to no safety measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
My temperature was never taken. I was not tested. Social distancing was not observed in any capacity. I was, after a certain point, provided with a paper mask.
VPM made several requests for comment from the sheriff's office, but did not hear back by deadline.
This is Yasmin Juma reporting. Attorneys who are at the jail this morning said they were not given any information about arrests and were denied access to their clients, adding that several people were held on buses overnight, waiting to be processed. VPM reporter Roberto Roldan says he was pepper sprayed by police while covering protests on Sunday night. The chief of police in Richmond says the incident with Roldan was an accident. Also from VPM, Ben Pavier reports.
Roldan says he was wearing a reflective vest when he approached a line of officers and clearly identified himself as a reporter. But he says one officer pepper sprayed him and another tackled him to the ground. In a press conference on Monday, recorded by CBS 6, Richmond Police Chief Will Smith said the officer didn't mean to hit Roldan.
The person who was running was actually running and sadly is not as agile as we would like.
Roldan says there's no way to know what was going on inside the officer's head.
But I will certainly say that the tackle felt intentional.
Mayor LeVar Stoney ordered an internal audit into what happened then and with several other brushes between police and reporters Sunday night. A reporter for NBC 12 says officers drew guns on her when she tried to get out of her car. From Richmond, I'm Ben Pavier.
The death of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the unrest across the country has lawmakers in Virginia considering criminal justice reform. There's already some bipartisan agreement emerging during this time of crisis, as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Members of the Legislative Black Caucus say their patience has run out, and now is the time to change a broken criminal justice system that devalues black lives. Delegate Lamont Bagby is a Democrat from Richmond who's chairman of the caucus.
I think it's going to require Democrats, Republicans, blacks and white legislators to focus in on how we come up with solutions. But the time is then. We shouldn't have to wait for the next election to be promised action.
He suggests things like standardizing training for police officers across Virginia and instituting civilian review boards to look at officer-involved shootings. Delegate Jason Mieres is a Republican from Virginia Beach and a former prosecutor. He says he'd be open to both of those ideas. Plus, he even supports the idea of putting outside prosecutors in charge of officer-involved deaths.
There is that option. The question is whether we change it from making an option to a mandate. I think it is critical to restore some common sense faith in our law enforcement. That seems like a good first step.
He says he expects to see the next session of the General Assembly have a bipartisan consensus emerge to demand accountability from law enforcement in an effort to restore confidence. I'm Michael Pope.
A third prisoner has died from COVID-19 at the Buckingham Correctional Center. According to the Virginia Department of Corrections, that marks the fifth death from the disease in Buckingham County prisons. Two prisoners have also died at the Dilwyn Correctional Center there. According to the VDOC website, 9 inmates have died from the disease in state prisons, including one at the Virginia Correctional Center for Women. Dilwyn Correctional Center has reported a total of 331 cases of COVID-19 among prisoners and staff. The Buckingham Correctional Center has reported a total of 155 cases, most of them inmates. As a result, Buckingham County has one of the highest concentrations of confirmed cases in the state. Nearly three dozen black alumni of Liberty University denounced school president Jerry Falwell Jr. on Monday, suggesting he step down after he mocked Virginia's mask-wearing requirement by invoking the blackface scandal that engulfed the state's governor last year. In a letter to Falwell, shared with the Associated Press, 35 faith leaders and former student athletes told Falwell that his past comments, quote, have repeatedly violated and misrepresented Christian principles. They said they would stop urging students to attend Liberty, would no longer donate to the university, and that they would urge fellow people of faith to avoid speaking at the school unless Falwell changes his behavior or steps aside. Finally today, Dominion Energy Virginia asked state regulators on Monday to give utilities the option to suspend service disconnections for another 4 months due to the pandemic. The state's largest electric utility made the request in a filing with the State Corporation Commission. In March, the SCC had issued a suspension of disconnections for non-payment for electricity, gas, water, and sewer utility services. It later extended the moratorium to June 15th. The commission has warned that the moratorium is not sustainable on an unlimited basis and that the cost of unpaid utility bills are ultimately borne by paying customers as operational costs of the utility. One little programming note here for you. WMRL 89.9 FM in Lexington is off the air due to a power issue, which we hope to resolve soon in the next couple of days. In the meantime, don't forget, you can listen to WMRA anytime through the WMRA app, through your smart speaker, or at WMRA.org. And sorry for the trouble if you are around the Lexington area and you listen to 89.9 FM. Hope to get that issue resolved in the next couple of days. Thanks for listening to the WMRA Daily today. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. I hope you stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.